by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here at Shooter's Corner at KFAR Radio Studio here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. It is July 31st, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and it is supposed to be a record high. Well, Cindy says it's a record high of 71 degrees today.
71.
No, I'm good with that.
I am too. No rain. Please, no rain.
Exactly. All right. So, welcome. If you missed last week's show, and we're going to continue on with our our continued beat up on the SIG 320.
SIG slander segment.
Yeah, this is the shooter's SIG slander segment.
I hope everybody pulls them off the shelf. So
well,
nobody else
can't do anything
hurt
about that, but we'll discuss a couple things that just came to light as well. But hey, if you have any questions or comments or anything, feel free to call in 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. And as always, you can go to kfarradio.com and click on Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden, scroll down past our bio, and you will find all the archives there as well. So you can go back and listen to past shows if you've missed anything, or hey, check this out. Talked to a couple guys who are truck drivers and everything. They're like, hey, can I download them? Yeah, actually, you can. You can save them on your phone, your laptop, whatever. Listen to them, all these programs when you're or shows when you're on the road as well. So pretty cool idea.
Sounds a little poetic there. Show on the road.
Yeah, let's get the show started. Well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Today we have in the studio with us, as always, Teresa running the board for us expertly because, as we all know, Chuck screws it up.
Yep.
Got Matt in the studio and Miss Boise Bell. And we have her friend, Ann May, with us as well.
Yes. So. Good morning.
There you go. See?
There you go.
That worked out. Okay. Hey, so I know this weekend's class for our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit is sold out, so there's that. But our shotgun class is on August 9th. It is a one-day, 10-hour class. Shotgun ammo is included in the cost, at least for the 12-gauge. So if you have your own 12-gauge, feel free to bring that. What's interesting, though, is, you know, I don't advocate necessarily for violence should you have to defend yourself or your family. I mean, that's obviously depends on the situation and what's going on, as we like to say, the totality of the circumstances. However, if evil actually kicks in your front door in the middle of the night and you place a load of buckshot in the center mass of their chest, that may also allow them to consider their life choices.
You know, there's a Clint Smith saying I want to say, but it's not good for the air. But yeah, buckshot will absolutely do.
Yep. And so that allows them to consider their choices. It gives you an opportunity to speak with your favorite attorney as well. And I, however, do not advocate for you to die in your own house at the hands of some savage. So interestingly enough, I actually went to Grok and I said, hey, take that paragraph and put it in biblical terms.
Well, explain what Brock is because
Grok
is new.
Who's Brock?
Grok.
Grok.
Doesn't matter. Here's the biblical style of what I just said.
Okay.
Verily, I beseech thee not to yield the sword in defense of thyself or thy kin. Yet should wickedness shatter thy threshold under the veil of midnight, and thou dost unleash a storm of leaden hail into the heart of the intruder, perchance it shall grant him pause to ponder the folly of his ways. Moreover, it may summon thee to commune with thine esteemed counselor of the law. Yet I proclaim, suffer not to perish within thine own dwelling at the mercy of some brutish beast.
Man, that sounds good.
I think we'll keep that.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, so I don't know if you've ever seen James Reeves on TFB TV.
Yep.
He comes up with some good stuff, and he came up with the top five shotgun things. And this is all part of this whole shotgun class thing, right? And what was interesting is, like, one of his top fives was the Mossberg Maverick 88. He said it was very reliable, went through his 500-round burn down, all that stuff, no issues, no malfunctions, jams, whatever you want to call them, right? And he said it's pretty easy to put a light on it, you know, as we always recommend, put a light on your long gun especially, right?
Yes.
The other ones was the Mossberg 590, the 540, the 990 Mossberg. So top out of the three were Mossbergs.
Yep.
Right? Well, if you think about it, that's primarily what their mission set is.
They've been doing it for so long. They're doing it better than most other companies out there.
Yeah, I was like 14 and had a Mossberg 500.
Yeah.
You know.
And I feel a lot of women can handle them too.
Yeah, they can. Especially if you use a particular technique called push-pull technique, right? Mm-hmm. Which helps alleviate some of that recoil. All right?
Yes.
Then one of the other ones was a semi-auto Beretta A300 Patrol. And then the semi-auto Beretta 1301. I like the 1301 Mod 2. They made some improvements on it and everything. But, yeah, so here was something that was incredibly interesting about that whole segment that he had out of this, and I did some research on it. So it says, although the AR is probably the best home defense for the correct ammunition, the handgun probably the most convenient, the shotgun is king of the home defense. It has raw power, and although it does not have the ammo capacity of an AR or most handguns, it is versatile. This means you can shoot buckshot or a slug. And we know that. I've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hunt with it if you needed to. You could shoot buckshot for home defense. And if you have to, based on range, just do a select slug drill, right?
Yes.
The spread of the shot has some forgiveness, but most shotguns have a nominal spread of 1 inch per yard for the first 15 to 16 yards and then start to get erratic after that. We have some Turkinelli buckshot that we allow people to shoot in the class because I want them to see what quality is. And obviously the Turkinelli stuff is not the quality. And then fire a Federal Premium tack load through it, right? The flight control wad.
Mm-hmm.
And watch what the incredible difference is. It's insane, right? So familiarize yourself with the distances in your home and learn to use the shotgun correctly. Pattern your shotgun with buckshot, determine the accuracy ranges. Also identify when the select slug drill is necessary. You will learn that once you learn what the A, B, and C zone of the shotgun are. That's all in our class. Interestingly enough, there was a study that was conducted with a mock jury in Texas, right? The study shows that juries are more likely to convict you if you use an AR-15 versus a shotgun in self-defense.
I wonder why.
That's based on a real Texas study involving mock juries. If you want another huge plus in favor of shotguns for home defense, that's a big one. One of the biggest ones, it could save your butt in court, right? Because folk wisdom may have devised a way to discriminate between good and bad types of guns.
Do you think a lot of it has to do with the media?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So AR, bad gun, right?
Yeah.
Grandpa's double barrel shotgun with a walnut stock. Good gun.
Well.
And believe it or not, the Ruger Mini 14, which shoots the same caliber as most ARs, 223, right,
mm-hmm.
is considered a good gun.
Yep.
Why? Because Ruger marketed it for what? Ranch and hunting, right?
Yep.
So they said, oh, it's a ranch defense gun. You can shoot coyotes with it, you know, get them off your cattle, blah, 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 right? So
yeah.
Same gun, essentially, but it's a good, characterized in the public's eye as a good gun. Bad guns are designed explicitly for inflicting pain on others, whereas good guns will be used for hunting and sporting purposes. Media and the legislative process have focused on social problems caused by Saturday night specials or assault rifles, right? However, recent research has found little effect on the anti-assault rifle legislation on crime rates. We know that. Nevertheless, we hypothesize that the AR-15 will be the most effective firearm in priming negative attributions to a defendant. So, right. So here's I pulled this out of this little study. So mean recommended sentences. So the male was a 3.90. And what the scenario was is you come downstairs in your house. You see somebody holding a VCR. You tell them to get out of your house and they say, F you. And then you shoot them.
Right? Yeah.
And it was like a 60-year-old or a 59-year-old male. And it was a 23-year-old white male in your house, that kind of stuff. And, you know, so there was a whole bunch of other parameters that they had given these people. So the AR-15, the male jurors gave them 7.25 years. The females gave them 8.53.
Jeez.
Women are not lenient.
Wow.
The Ruger Mini 14, only 4.33 female, 3.43 years average, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Defender shotgun, which was a Winchester pump action, kind of a tactical looking, mm-hmm. but the male was only 2.60. The female was 6.20.
Now, wait a minute. I'm seeing a female trend. Why are they harder on the females?
No. These are female jurors in the amount of years they would have suggested.
Oh, they would. Okay.
They're harder on the defendant.
Oh, than the men.
Yeah, than the men are in some cases. Okay. Right? And then the revolver is Smith & Wesson Hammerless 6.42 revolver. Male, only 1.5 years. Female, 2.24. So the revolver out of this whole thing, this scenario, was like the least amount of years you could potentially get. But still, shotgun was obviously less than what the AR-15 would be.
Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Shotguns are the way to go. I don't care.
Well, I guess you don't want a female on your jury then.
It sounds like it.
It sounds like the women are being a little bit.
I'm really
yeah, but we
interested
gotta get ready to,
in
yeah,
listening.
Yeah, we got to get into our break. We're going to come back. But SIG is back in the news again. When we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation. I guess the ladies have some comments they want to make about the old women and the jury thing. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about SIG again, because what a plethora of information they provide to all podcast YouTubers and Shooter's Corner as well. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Niall Radcliffe of Woodbridge, Virginia. You reeled in a 10.62-pound silver salmon and got on the derby leaderboard. So I know you had a Valdez silver salmon derby ticket. So tell me how that came about, buying the ticket, and then at what point did you realize, hey, I might win something here?
Well, we bought the ticket when we left the harbor from the on the boat at the recommendation of the captain, saying, well, you never know. When we caught the fish, he said, well, that's a good size one. We're going to have to make sure we weigh it when we get in. It might make it on the board, and lo and behold, it did.
What was that like when you got to the harbor?
Oh, that was exciting.
And what's the biggest deal, winning a prize or the notoriety of being on the board?
Oh, the notoriety, certainly.
Certainly, and what would you recommend for folks on how to land this big fish? Over 10 pounds. So does it take a little bit of skill or pretty easy to get in?
It took a little bit of skill fighting the fish, I guess. But the main thing, the skill came with the deckhand who had to do the netting, make sure it didn't get tangled up in the props or the other lines, and get the fish aboard. And he was expert at doing that.
Call Fish Central and get out on the water to catch fish and fill your freezer this summer. Fish Central can hook you up with charter reservations or a rental boat and give you the advice you need to navigate the local waters. Once you've caught your limit, Fish Central can process your fish too. Book with Fish Central and get 10% off your processing. Visit fishcentral.net or call 907-835-5002 to book your fishing adventure today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing, unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue. Take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work trucks set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High temperatures reach up to 73. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 53 tonight, mainly clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 78 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner at the KFAR studios in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. If you have any questions or comments, feel free. Call in at 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. Before we left for the break, we were talking about basically shotguns as home defense systems because C4TrainingGroup.com has an upcoming shotgun class.
Yes.
On August 9th, which is next Saturday. Just a Saturday. Get it. Like, don't go to the fair. You don't need to. Nothing exciting over there. But there's really good things going on at the Fox Range with C4 Training Group and the shotgun class. Yes. Go sign up. Ammo, 12-gauge ammo included in the cost. But what it was more about was how does the public, how could potential jurors view the use of a shotgun versus maybe an AR as a home defense system or even like a handgun as a home defense. So shotgun's very versatile. If you missed the first part, feel free to go back, listen to us at the archives, kfrradio.com. Valdez Fishing Report, man, the silver salmons are pretty small. I think I remember going down and they were like 14, 15 pounds. What are they, like 9 pounds now? You might as well be catching a pink. You know? I don't know. I just had to say that. So, any who's?
Anywho, so
what was your conversation?
As women had an opinion on this, and why are the juries so hard on the men?
Why are the female jurors so hard on the defendant?
Yes.
I don't know. What was your theory then?
What were you thinking, Ann? Do you think it's just because men have had the upper power over women for years?
No, it was a male suspect slash future decedent. No, I don't know.
Do you think because women are more of a threat?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. You'd have to look at the details of the case as well and see how they view it.
I think it's even simpler. I think it's the fact that most men grow up around firearms and most women do not. It's not really a very womanized thing in the culture that it has been over the last forever with weapons. So I think a man on an average basis understands what that firearm can do and what it's capable of. And I think sometimes with media and especially the political aspect of things, they say AR, the 30-round assault caliber rocket clip, and it can take off, you know, someone's entire body if they get shot in the pinky. In reality, a shotgun does way more damage than an AR does. But all of that media, all of the politics aside, people take that in and they just base that as truth. They don't do any sort of research or statistical studies on their own.
Yeah. Because handguns put holes in people, rifles put holes through people, shotguns take chunks off people.
Or do you think
shovel
it's
to pick up?
All right.
All right. Move on.
Yeah, we want to get into the next segment here.
Okay.
So SIG is back in the news again. So here's the latest press release from SIG. And, of course, Matt, Cindy, and I will add our sarcastic wit. So from SIG, recently there has been a number of reports and claims regarding the safety of the P320 pistol and its use by the U.S. military and law enforcement agencies. We understand you may have questions. We want to address your concerns and provide you with a full, complete, and accurate information. SIG Sauer has always, all caps, will continue to put the safety and security of the U.S. military and law enforcement community, our consumers, and the public first. To this end, we want to be sure concerned citizens have access to complete facts, as opposed to the unconcerned citizen who just doesn't care. The P320 is one of the safest, most advanced pistols in the world, meeting and exceeding all industry safety standards. I would really like to know what those standards are now.
They were not under oath when they wrote this, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. And the most advanced pistol in the world, you're absolutely right. This thing can, like, shoot on its own.
Yeah.
That's advanced.
It's AI.
Like, just leave it on a table. Maybe it, like, automatically sees the bad guy coming in your house and engages them for you.
Shoot, boy.
Yeah.
And no, boy.
Get him.
Surprise.
Well, I mean,
unfortunately, in this case, it's like a good guard dog sometimes bites its own owner.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it took the Air Force to say, we're pulling this. We're not having.
Yeah, and then a lot of other people jumped on it. But I know a lot of other agencies that were like already like, no, we're not going to allow this. All right. So its design has been thoroughly tested and validated by the U.S. military and law enforcement agencies at the federal, state, and local levels. In addition, the P320 has been rigorously tested and is currently in use by militaries and law enforcement agencies around the world. Yeah, at least for now, as of this writing.
They wrote this as if it's really not being put out saying, hey, don't use this. I think the count as of last night was over 132 different law enforcement agencies have said, stop using this. You have an entire division of the military, an entire branch saying, no, thank you. Another branch saying, we're going to investigate. We're probably going to get rid of this. Everyone and their mother is saying, bad P320. And SIG is still standing 10 toes down saying, nope, this is good.
Do you understand the liability they have if they did come out and say, you know what, we were wrong. It is a flawed system.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, by the way, our manufacturing process of parts out of India
is
using the MIMS process sucks.
There was a new study
they're
done.
They're going to be paying out a buttload.
Yeah.
That's, and, oh, by the way, they'll lose the military contract and all the other stuff.
Yep.
Which they have, what? Let's see. 1, 2, 3 systems now in military contract.
And none of them work.
The 17, the M-17, the M-18, the XM-7, and what was the other? The XM-250, the squad, squad automatic weapon, the SOB replacement.
So when's the military going to wake up and
Well, that's something we'll talk about.
Okay.
A recently publicized internal report from the FBI's Ballistic Research Facility created some confusion and raised questions about the safety of the P320. Remember, this is SIG's public release. The FBI prepared this report for the Michigan State Police after an officer was involved in an accidental discharge. Notice they use the word accidental discharge.
Yep.
Remember I talked last week about accidental discharge, negligent discharge, and how SIG themselves came up with the uncommanded discharge. They didn't use uncommanded discharge here.
No.
They used accidental discharge, which would imply that the person did something.
Yep.
So if your husband dies, that's an accidental discharge because of a P.
What? Okay. Sig Sauer engineers. Just leave that one alone.
Yeah,
you were looking
alone.
At me when you said it. Sig Sauer engineers met with the F. Hold on. This is important. Okay. Sig Sauer engineers met with the FBI and Michigan State Police on several occasions to review the report and the incident. But the FBI's Ballistic Research Facility report said SIG refused to participate.
I wonder why.
Ultimately, the FBI conducted a more detailed, repeatable, and comprehensive battery of testing using compatible equipment. The subsequent testing resulted in zero instances of failures, and the Michigan State Police are now confidently issuing P320-based pistols. The FBI BRF yet to make any official claims or statements regarding the safety of the P320 pistol or any of its variants. However, we are urging the FBI BRF and FBI Director Kash Patel to release a full and complete testing and evaluation report on their updated P320 safety testing. Who did they blow over at the FBI? Like, hate to say it that way, but all of a sudden, you now they're freaking FBI is going to like recant? Okay, sure.
Someone got stock options.
Yeah. An internal memo from the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was recently posted online stating the agency was halting its use of the P320. Many online media outlets immediately sought to attribute this to the above-referenced FBI BRF report, which is incorrect. DHS has never raised any safety concerns about the P320, and ICE has since extended their existing contract with Sig Sauer another 2 years. Since DHS has yet to comment publicly, correcting their improperly leaked memo or any statements questioning the safety of the P320, we are now urging ICE to release all information on P320 testing. Sig Sauer is honored to continue aiding ICE in their mission to protect America. They're not one of them dudes out there in the field right now comfortable with carrying any of that crap on their hip.
No. You'd have to be brain dead.
Mike, you would already have to have a tourniquet in place.
Yep.
You gotta be ready.
Yeah. There was a tragic incident, a recent tragic incident at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming, which resulted in the death of an airman. Because the incident involved the discharge of a P320-based M18 pistol, the Air Force is actively conducting an evaluation of M18 pistols within the specific command where the incident happened. This cautionary step is standard procedure. We proactively offered assistance to the U.S. military as they investigate the incident. Of course they did. They want to get their side in there.
Yeah.
You know? All right.
They're losing millions of dollars. They lose
maybe.
Money.
Maybe. I'm gonna fast forward.
Okay. Fast forward, babe.
This is important. Following several of these inaccurate reports, a number of ranges, training providers, and training facilities made the reactionary decision to ban the P320 in the use of their facilities. We are actively working to provide these individuals with accurate information along with a detailed understanding of the P320 and its safety features. We got to take a break, but I want you to hear this. If you are impacted by a P320 range or training provider ban, we urge you to reach out to SIG customer service. Why? So they can put like a gag order on them or like issue that lawsuit to
them. Sue them.
They're going to start suing training providers. We got to take our break. We'll be right back. Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Broadcasting from the Satellite West Studio, you're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump, of course, back from weekend trip to Scotland. There's been some criticism on Capitol Hill, questioning whether the visit's purpose and timing were good. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says plenty was accomplished over there.
In less than 48 hours, President Trump brokered the biggest, most impactful trade deal in history and prevented a war in Asia for the second time since he took office.
Well, you got the president's trade deadline tonight at midnight. Countries are hurrying to make deals. Right now, thousands of NYPD officers lining the streets of the Bronx in honor of the life of Officer Didarul Islam, who was one of four people killed in an office shooting in Manhattan on Monday. New York City Mayor Eric Adams at the funeral and thanking the officers who served alongside him in the Bronx's 47th precinct.
In spite of what happened, they put on a uniform the next day. They carried out their jobs and their obligations and their responsibility to
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the Arctic Encounter Summit kicked off in Anchorage Wednesday at the Dena'ina Center with participants from at least 27 countries, a record according to organizers. Billed as the largest Arctic policy and business event in North America, founder Rachel Callender said the nonprofit, non-governmental organization is entering its 11th year. Arctic Encounter was founded with the idea that the U.S. is an Arctic nation and we are only an Arctic nation because of the state of Alaska, Callender said. So we should be bringing players and leaders and experts together from all over the country and all over the world here to Alaska to address the biggest challenges and also try to develop solutions. The event is marked by seminars, discussions, and breakout sessions. Callender said the summit is an efficient way for leaders and stakeholders to meet with each other in one location to share information and ideas. Arctic Encounter continues through Friday. Governor Mike Dunleavy is scheduled to address the group today, and U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is scheduled on Friday.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665. Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
Auto Trim Design has a variety of CompuStar remote starts available that are compatible with Drone Mobile, giving you the option to start your vehicle from your smart device. Ask about their proximity unlock feature that lets you unlock your vehicle as you walk up to it. No more searching for your keys while you're juggling groceries or school supplies. Auto Trim Design has been installing remote starts for almost 30 years. They're reliable, trustworthy, and stand by their work. As Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt in the studios here at Shooter's Corner. KFAR Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hey, if you missed any part of the show before where we were talking the good stuff about shotguns and how there's bad guns and good guns and how juries may view them, or if you've missed our first segment, Bashing 6 Hour.
It's my favorite time of the day.
Yeah, then make sure you go ahead and scroll down on KFARradio.com and find archives, and you can always listen to the show there. All right, so we were talking about the P320 and how SIG has now told people, essentially, hey, if a range or a training provider is basically saying that you cannot use the P320 in their classes, contact our customer service.
And then they're going to sue you.
Or the training provider. I wonder, I'd be interested to see how gun sites reacted to that.
They probably didn't care.
Yeah.
It's probably discretion.
Yeah. I bet they... I don't know if there's ever been precedent for any training provider or site like that to actually ban a particular gun.
Well, we have holsters. We don't
allow the Serpas because they're trigger finger activated retention. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we could do that because, like, our firearms insurance company won't allow them. NRA doesn't allow them on any ranges either. So I think you could probably get away with it and say that there's precedent on banning something that could be deemed to be unsafe. But... SIG continued and said their P320 cannot, under any circumstances, discharge without the trigger first being moved to the rear. So if you go and watch a video by Wyoming Gun Project called SIG P320 Uncommanded Discharge, and it's repeatable, what he ended up having to do, I think at least to get it to repeat like 5 times in a row or whatever, didn't he put a little screw in there to only move it like 1 millimeter?
It was like a threat, like a simple... like turn of a thread, and it was enough to throw
Which means even then, your gun shouldn't even freaking fire if it's only 1 millimeter into the take-up before it even reaches, the trigger reaches the pressure wall.
Yep, and I would be surprised from a company like Staccato if that was an issue, but when you come from SIG, and then if you know the military-industrial complex who pays the cheapest amount, your QC is not going to be that great. So those tolerances are going to stack on top of each other until there's an issue like what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. And so it goes, as with any gun, the P320 will discharge if the trigger is pulled to the rear. Now, yeah, of course, yeah.
As it should.
As it should. Unlike the Barrett, which doesn't. Yeah, we'll talk about that maybe. Accordingly, 6 Hour continues to remind its customers, employees, and the public to employ all safe gun handling practices as spelled out in detail in our product manuals. Did they not release a manual that said, like, carry it with the chamber empty?
Yeah, Israeli carry. You can only use Safariland holsters, which... The pistol
MSP
went off.
Guys were using.
And
the Air Force guy was in a Safari Land as
They issued Safari Land holster that SIG said, this is good for us, and then they handed it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Michigan State Police guy was actually in alien gear.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was in a Safari Land holster. Yeah. So, anywho, that's part of their press release. So, I actually kind of love this comment from a poster on Reddit. I'm not gonna necessarily cite him, but it said, as soon as there were deaths involved, they knew that admitting fault would be the end of the company. They know they would not be able to afford to replace all the faulty units, let alone all of the death and injury payouts. So the only thing left for them to do is deny, deny, deny. Yeah, they'll deny, 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 counter accuse. That's always kind of been the strategy, right?
Yeah.
They'll pull as much money out of the company as they can for themselves in the meantime, fat bonuses and huge golden parachutes. Then when all of it comes crashing down, they'll go cry to the government and get bailed out because they're critical to national defense. I think there's some truth there.
I think that was perfectly summed up, especially coming from Reddit.
Much more reliable than Farcebook.
Reddit.
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 Hey, we got a caller. Hey, caller, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner. Go ahead. Oh, they hung up.
Oh, they hung
up. Continuing on. So, has an enemy infiltrated the United States military procurement process with a SIG pistol, the Barrett now being sold to an Australian company in IOA? Yes, Barrett Firearms, the American firearm manufacturer, was acquired by an Australian defense contractor. Huh. Caller, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt on Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Thomas.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. Hey, two things I think would be interesting. First, the number one defense thing to have around the house is a 20-gauge pump. My goodness. Anybody can use it, and it's just so fast to get back on target. It's just amazing. Number two, SIG has increased the incentives for employees selling SIG products to 3 times the normal rate on spiffs.
What's a spiff?
So a SPIF is a sales performance incentive form. So what that means is if I sell three SIGs, 320s, I get a 365, or I can get any of the other SIG products.
You wouldn't want a 320?
I would probably look at some of the other products.
But don't buy your wife a 320.
She'll keep it in a holster pointed at you all the time.
At all times, and don't up the life insurance.
They also put all the 320s on clearance as well through all their changes, dropping the MSRP, making them all go down to the manufacturer's authorized price floor. So they're at MAP, which is the lowest that they can sell them for.
Oh, they're hurting.
Yeah, that's kind of an indicator.
Yep.
Can you buy a SIG and take it apart and use the parts on other guns?
Yeah. Well, you can.
Well, not the firing control mechanism.
Yeah, not that.
The control unit is, they sell them separately to us. We can get those actually by themselves. So we can order a firing control unit just by itself. SIGs are modular, you know, that you can get all different kinds of grip systems and different types of barrel assemblies and things. So, but the last thing I was going to jump into, and I don't know if you guys have a class for it, is I don't know if you've heard about the Brett Terbeek 10 mil Glock story.
Let me write that down.
He killed a grizzly, defense of life and property. He had a grizzly charge him, a very big one, while he was out scouting for moose.
And
the reliability of the Glock and the multiple shots of the Glock made it work.
Oh yeah.
And it was a huge grizzly. It was one that would, you know, make, you know, the Boone of Crockett. It was just a monster, but he was out just scouting for moose country, scouting for moose camp. And, the multiple 10 millimeter shots when used wisely, worked.
Oh yeah. There you go.
And
so you shoot a Glock 20, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the other thing is that, you know, there should be a class for that because it's harder than what people think using a handgun in a bear defense situation.
Yeah. No, I agree. We do the bear defense portion in our shotgun class. We actually do the Alaska Fishing Game bear qualification with the slugs.
Uh-huh.
So.
Anyway, I'll let you guys go, but I thought that that was interesting. And, you know, he's a local physician around here, and Tyler wrote it up, but it's a good story.
I'll get with you and see if you can give me the details on that.
Okay. Anyway, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
You too.
Enjoy the sun. Okay, so like I was saying, Barrett was like acquired. Okay. What about the XM7 rifle going from a basic load of 210 rounds to only 140 rounds?
Stupid.
Making us less combat effective. Like, I remember what our basic load was as an infantryman with it, like an M4.
What was it? 210?
Yeah. So, kind of have to wonder, though, like, at what level is our military being infiltrated, like, or getting dumbed down so we're less combat effective? Because now that you gave us basically a replacement for the squad automatic weapon, which was what the MK250, or I mean, not the XM250, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Shooting, what is it, 6.8?
Yeah, it's actually the same as the XM7, and with the implementation of the M250, all saws are essentially getting tossed, and then all the 240s outside of like coaxial use are being put on vehicles only. So the 250 will be ground use.
So let's talk about the newest uncommanded discharge hero. The Barrett MK22, right? So I got to tell you this, man, like imagine like working your way up onto an objective or something like that, knowing that you have sniper coverage, you know, somebody who's going to like cover you.
Yep.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they press a trigger and nothing happens. And then they tap the bolt handle and all of a sudden the gun just goes off and like ventilates your chest.
I got to say this, Barrett made the most lethal Bop It toy ever. You can do 50 things and the trigger's not working, but bop it, push it, squeeze it, and it's going off.
Yeah. So you want to talk about this a little bit, that MK22? We only got like a minute before we have to go in the break, and then we can finish after.
Yeah, so personally speaking, within the recon community and the sniper community, a lot of the guys that are fielding the Mark 22 are not happy with it. More and more videos are coming out frequently now because I think everyone's just stopped caring, but pull the trigger, doesn't go off. And again, this is documented on video. sitting there behind the rifle, hand completely off the trigger, and the slightest push of the bolt. The bolt is in the closed position, mind you. They barely touch it. Pin gets sent forward. Round goes off. We have issues with the chamber being defective and cracking. The gun itself is just falling apart. It's doing everything it's not supposed to do, especially with a sniper rifle or anything long distance. I mean, you said it best. I couldn't imagine sitting there and doing any sort of reconnaissance and then sneezing and my rifle gives off my position 2K in front of the front line while I'm trying to figure out what's going on. That's not great. And that thing is not cheap either. That is a $12,000 firearm.
Correct.
Malfunctioning.
Yes. And there are... we got a break. When we come back, it's interesting how some people are not calling it an uncommanded discharge. They're calling it a hang fire.
A hang fire.
Hang fires are normally, traditionally, ammunition issues.
Yep.
Yes.
Not a gun issue. We keep coming up with this new crap. All right, we got to go into our last break. And when we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation about the Barrett MK22. Stay tuned here with Chuck Cindy and Matt, Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Discovering things out on the road is just one of the joys of RVing. Unless you've discovered a problem with a propane appliance or electrical issue, take it to Price RV to keep your RV road ready. Price RV maintains your propane heater or stove, inspects and repairs wiring or electrical issues, fixes broken water lines, leaks, and vent problems. Before you get on the road, get over to Price RV. Call 907-651-6626, end of Plaque Road on Marble Court in North Pole.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska Pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs level off around 73. East winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 53. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt on Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We're at KFAR, 97.5, 660 AM. If you've missed any of the show prior to this segment right here, our last segment, feel free to jump on KFARradio.com, scroll down there, and find our archives at Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereden. And I think you'll be amazed of all the great content we're out there. putting out there, throwing out there, discussing. Like, I sometimes go home and I amaze myself. I have to go home and listen to myself. Let's continue on the conversation about the Barrett MK22.
I have no comment.
So there's been multiple reports indicating a reoccurring safety issue with the MK22 where the rifle fails to discharge upon trigger pull, often described as a misfire or hang fire. And that's where we left off right before the break. They're calling it a hang fire. See, the hang fire is classified as an ammunition malfunction where the primer has been struck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a perceptible delay before the ignition of the cartridge. Hence the reason why the NRA always has a rule, wait 30 seconds before opening the action, right? Because
it could be a hang fire.
A misfire could be a hang fire, right? Yeah. You don't want to have that open breach or whatever.
Can I simply explain something to the listeners, too? With a hang fire, what you're hearing us say is... firing pin hits primer and it doesn't go off within a certain amount of time. Easiest way for you to imagine that is any sort of pirate movie with a flintlock pistol. They pull the trigger, The hammer hits the pan, it ignites, takes a second, and then the firearm goes off. That was something way back in the day when there was a bunch of steps and processes that weren't all in one. That was acceptable. Nowadays, absolutely not. Not acceptable whatsoever. So if you want to visualize what a hang fire is, just think of any sort of old black powder pistol or rifle.
Yeah, and you normally see it with older ammunition.
Yep.
Especially stuff that comes out of like former Eastern Soviet bloc stuff that hasn't been quality controlled as far as the environment.
I've used some Comblock 7.62, and yeah, I've had hang fires frequently.
So we have another caller. Hey, caller, you're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner.
Hello, my name is Randy. I wanted to go back a little bit in your program. Earlier you were talking about how juries hand out penalties for certain activities involving firearms, and you said that, you know, women tend to put out a higher or a bigger penalty than the men jurors. But I missed.
Yeah, that's what the study showed. Yeah.
What kind of crimes were you talking about that was being tried? A robbery or what was that?
Yeah, so essentially it was a burglary in a residence. That was kind of the set that they had given them. And so understand this was a mock trial as well. So this wasn't an actual trial that occurred in Texas. They said, hey, jury members, like, here's what your circumstances are. Here's what happened. Here's what the defendant said. Here's what the person was carrying, blah, blah, blah. And then for each one of those, they changed the gun. Does that make sense now?
Okay. Okay. And then when you say a burglary, a mock trial involving a burglary, are you talking about that the burglar came in and he was carrying a certain kind of gun?
No. No, the homeowner comes down the stairs and sees somebody holding the VCR in their hands.
Uh-huh.
The homeowner says, you know, who are you? Get out. And then the burglar is like, F you. And then the homeowner shoots him. Now, understand this was all mock. Right?
Uh-huh.
This was all based on like a scenario, if you will. And so that was the end result. Like they said, okay, do you find him guilty? Yes. How many years would you give him? And then that's kind of the Cliff Note version, if you will.
Okay. And I assume in this mock trial test, I assume some of the jury said, hey, the guy's not guilty at all.
It is possible because I didn't look at the actual data, but the mean numbers indicate that they gave a heck of a lot less for a revolver versus the AR. Yeah, and then the shotgun was kind of in the middle and much less.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, if someone did say, I mean, in other words, in order for the homeowner not to be guilty, the idea is that the burglar would have had to be lunging at him or something like that? Or,
right.
I see.
And so one of the defense things was they were saying, mock side defense was saying, there's a disparity of force because the homeowner was 58, 59 years old. It's a white male, 23 years old. They're more athletic. They could have closed that distance much faster and caused serious physical injury to the homeowner. I mean, there was a whole bunch of other stuff that was in there. We were just trying to focus more on the fact that there's the context of it was there's bad guns and good guns.
Yeah.
And that's how things are viewed now.
Yeah, I see.
And like Cindy said, based on especially with what mass media does.
Okay.
And Grandpa's double barrel 12 gauge doesn't seem to be classified as a bad gun. It's considered to have a sporting purpose and use.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good gun.
But see, and I like to go down a rabbit hole in the theory of why are the women being so strict on this versus men? You know, why is their sentence a little bit stronger? And I feel it should be fair across the board. So.
No, because everybody's, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you, Cindy.
But I'm different.
I'm not going to answer that.
Because you love me.
Does that answer your question, Randy, before Cindy and I?
Okay.
Thank you, Randy.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. So, uncommanded discharge occurs when the bolt. Okay. They pull the trigger, but it does not fire. Okay. Until the bolt is starting to be manipulated, okay? So this uncommanded discharge occurs as the bolt begins to unlock, potentially under pressure, which could lead to a catastrophic failure such as metal fragments in the shooter's face, loss of fingers, or weapon destruction. That's where you're talking about barrel blow-ups.
Yes. Maybe.
This malfunction has been documented in videos from ranges and military contexts affecting a decent amount of the relatively new MK-22 rifles issued to the military. It differs from known issues in rifles like the Remington 700. I think you remember those days.
Yep.
which can fire without trigger input due to sear engagement problems, but may be mechanically similar or simpler to address. Potential issues include a mechanical failure in the firing mechanism or a bolt assembly that delays firing pin release until the bolt moves, an obstruction or a burr in the firing channel pin or pin channel, causing the pin or spring to hang up, or issues with a sear located in the bolt rather than in the trigger group, such as a faulty sear spring or obstruction. In some cases, it resembles a hang fire, delayed ignition due to faulty primer or a contaminated powder, where unlocking the bolt prematurely is dangerous as it could force the bolt rearward under pressure. Reports suggest Barrett has known about this for years, but may not have addressed it promptly due to contract concerns. Through the company is now reportedly going around to fix the affected units. Interesting.
I think there is zero excuse. I don't care if it's a military contract or civilian sales, whatever the case is. We can send cars into low Earth orbit. We can figure out the gender of a fish at the bottom of a trench in the ocean. Why can we not figure out how to make a gun do what a gun is supposed to do and what it's not supposed to do? It blows my mind. It is machining, simple, very simple engineering. And yet every company is out here either making excuses or making bigger threats to society than what's perceived simply by selling a weapon that doesn't work.
And you know how you can validate that? An Austrian guy who was building curtain rods got a military contract to design a polymer-style handgun for the Austrian army. And their fire control system has not done this.
Yep. Gotta love High Point.
It wasn't High Point, baby. No. It was good old Gaston Glock, man. He started out as a curtain rod builder or whatever, and then builds this Glock pistol.
I wasn't around when this came out. I know you were, but and that is factual.
Easy there, Sonny.
But you know, when that came out, and especially me growing up, Glock was the norm. That's what everyone wanted. And hearing some of the guys that had taught me how to shoot when I was growing up and all the fun stuff with that, they all said they hated it when it first came out. So what do you mean a Tupperware pistol? This can't be reliable, and it can't. And the design, in retrospect, has changed within an inch since it first came out versus all these companies that are trying to reinvent the wheel. And for some reason, Glock still works every single time. I don't know a single person that's had a SIG-induced gunshot wound from a Glock. I don't know anyone that's had to bump fire a pistol. They work well. They do what they need to do. Why can't more companies understand that reinventing is not going to solve all their issues?
And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that because I own a Gen 1.
Do you
all
really?
The way up through, like, Gen 5, and I don't think I've ever seen an issue with it.
No.
In original Tupperware box.
A Tupperware. Are you dating yourself?
Yeah. We bought them over in Germany at the Hanau Rod and Gun Club when we lived over in Germany.
That's right. We did.
That's cool.
That was the first gun you bought me, and it wouldn't even fit in my hand. And you said, oh, yeah.
Buy it for you.
I know you bought it
I
for you.
I told you that, but I didn't buy it for you. It's kind of like when I bought you that 12. I bought her a 20-gauge pump shotgun, a Mossberg 500. And she was so upset because I was like, hey, here's your Christmas gift. And she was like, oh, what a good. I was like, okay, can I take a pheasant hunt?
Well, that's before I got into
shooting. Well, that was back when we lived at Fort Riley, Kansas.
Yeah,
too.
The younger days of marriage.
I was still trying to figure it out, but we made it 42 years. So apparently I've been doing something right.
Something
you're doing it right. We're figuring it out.
She ain't sticking around for the money, for sure. All right. Hey, that's the end of our show for today. I hope you guys had fun listening to us and learned something as well. Chuck, Cindy, and Matt will be back next Thursday. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'm sure I'm going to task Cindy with coming up with something.
I will.
Lady listeners.
I've got something new I haven't tried yet. And, oh, we have been so busy. I have got to take it to the range.
Okay. We'll surprise everybody.
Thank you, Anne May, for coming and helping us and helping Chuck and I out today.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Hey, everybody, stay safe out there. Keep your powder dry. Hey, and go see the fair. They got something going on over there, I'm sure. All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters.
To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening.